We can't do this without you, Jesus. We ask you to be our teacher. Be the one that helps us to understand. Be the life and the light in us. Help us to cleave unto you. Thank you, Jesus, for the truth of your word. Thank you for your unfailing love and kindness toward us. Amen. I want you to remember, this is just a saying, but I feel like I'm supposed to say it. Confusion only comes when we consider anything but what God says. Confusion only comes when we consider anything but what God says. Or we could say it this way. Confusion only comes when we consider anything other than the truth. Does that help you? 1 John chapter 1. Did I ever tell y'all Job 22:21? Listen to this verse. Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. My focus, his presence. Get to know your God. Job 22:21. And if you read the verses after that, it gets even better. But I'm just leaving it there for you right now. So we're in 1 John chapter 1. In verse 1, we read this last week, but we're going to read it again. I thought we were going to end up going into chapter 3 this week, but as God was having me look at it again, he goes, Harv, there's too much good here to go through it quickly, because if somebody doesn't own this, they're not going to really get chapter 3. It's kind of funny how chapter 1 comes before chapter 3. Anyway. That which was from the beginning, Jesus, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes. So I'm reading this verse this morning, and I said, Lord, I'm jealous of the disciples that got to hang out with you physically, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, the life of God was manifested or revealed clearly unto us. And we have seen it, that life, and we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was clearly revealed unto us, manifested unto us. By the way, here's a little thought in the two words. Or three words, and bear witness. If you're ever considering something, if you try to say a lie, do you have peace with it? If you try to consider anything apart from what God's telling you, even if you don't like it, I was loving the words of these songs. And I'm start laughing because you have to be a believer that has decided to lay your life down to enjoy those words, to sing them, you know? But if you're ever considering something, you're trying to figure something out, try saying the opposite of what you think the truth is. Can you say it and have peace with that? It's like, you know, like right now, we're thinking God's having us look for a fifth wheel. So I'm like going through all this struggle of trying to figure out how to pay all these things and sell this house and all these things that God's taken us through. And so I'm talking to my dear wife, and she says, well, can you just say, forget the fifth wheel? I'm like, no, because that's where God's leading. I don't have it all figured out. It isn't all made clear yet, but it's like, I can't just say, forget it. That's not God. We just stay in this house. It's like, no, I can't say that. See, that's a principle though, to help you in your everyday life, because you're going to come upon things. Can I just say, it's okay just to stay right where I'm at? No. So I know God's wanting me to do something different, but, and then we start arguing. We start trying to reason and figure it all out. And what we need to do is come back to, what is God saying? Where is the peace of God? Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Romans 14:23, when in doubt, don't. When you're in doubt, don't move. Or don't hold on to what you're holding on to. Okay, anyway, that was just free. Wasn't in my notes. Verse 3, that Jesus, which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. He said, that's the whole point of this that we're talking about. So that you could have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So that's the whole point of these talks we're going to have, okay, for a little bit. And that's the whole point of this chapter. In this book, that we may have fellowship with God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ. This then is the message, he said, in order to do that, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We're not deceiving anybody else. And the truth is not in us. The truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. Huh. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, as if he's lying instead of us. And his word, Jesus, is not in us. So I want to read a few things, some notes. We're looking at verse 5. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So you ready? What is darkness? What does it do? Think about it. It hides. It covers. It keeps the truth from being seen. Okay? You're in a house. You walk in. There's no light. You're out in the woods. You know what I mean? Or far away. There's no light. You walk in, you can't see the truth, you can't see what's really there, okay? You're going to stumble, you're going to run into things. But what happens in darkness? Darkness causes suspicions and doubts, and it causes fears and imaginations. But if you turn on the light, darkness has to flee. Folks, life is so simple. All these little simple little sayings, for me, they help me because I got them from God, And I needed them for my everyday life. And that's why God is having us share these things. That's what these guys are saying here. So right now, I'm just going to read you some verses under this heading. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. You ready? And by the way, remember we were just reading one of the songs says, how did it say, I don't want to miss your word? I don't want to miss a single word you have to say. But sometimes when preachers preach, like me, I've got a bunch of verses. And I could just give you a few, but then I don't want to miss a single word you have to say. And I don't even have them all, but I've got more than probably what most would give you. But I'm trying to help you because we need to get this. We need to own this. You ready? God is light and there is no darkness at all. Psalm 27:1. There's going to be about five of them in Psalms or whatever. You ready? Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 36:9. For with thee is the fountain or offspring of life. In thy light shall we see light. Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Psalm 84:11. Isaiah 60:19. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. John 1:4. In Him, Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus in us is life. We can exist without Jesus. We can't live without Jesus. Jesus becomes our life. Until we meet Him, we go through life trying to find life. And it's not working. Nothing's working. And we can do things to please our flesh. We could do things to make ourselves happy, but it doesn't last. It doesn't fulfill. But in Him, in Jesus, was life. And the life was the light of men. It makes your life lighter. You're not carrying all the burdens. But that's because He brings light. He removes the darkness. He dispels the darkness. I just love that verse. John 1:9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. God brings light to each person. What do they do with light? Because you can bring somebody to light and I've done it. I hired a guy one time. I knew he didn't know Jesus. And I felt like God said, hire him. He worked for me for 5 months. He stole from me. He lied to me. He stole customers from me. He would go to a job and tell people, I can come back later and do this job on the side and it'll only cost you half. And he used my truck, my equipment, my supplies and told me they canceled the job. And when he ended up quitting over the next year, I had to strip and redo 25 of his jobs. Okay, so let's say that's $400 a piece. What is that? That's a lot. Okay. He lighteth every man that cometh in the world. Why was I saying that? And I can remember witnessing to him in my driveway as the Lord led me. And tears just ran down his face. So I'm talking to him about Jesus. And he hugged me and he thanked me or whatever. But he did not turn. He did not come to Jesus. You see, we have light. And this light touches every person. God touches every person. But what do they do with the light? What did we do with the light for a long time? That's why when I pray, I often say, thank you for chasing me till you caught me, Lord. Because we've all ended up running from him. We were all Jonas, but he kept chasing us because he wanted us. Never gave up on us. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Do you want light? Do you want life? Then you gotta want Jesus. Chapter 9:5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. John 12:35-36. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. Now this next little part of the verse I don't really like, but it's in the word, and it says, these things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. Sometimes God hides himself from us, or it seems like it. And it's all there to test us, I think. It's all there. Will you trust me when you can't find me? But God, what do you want me to do? He said, what were my last marching orders? What's the last thing you know I said? But God, I want to feel you. Whimper, whimper. Man should not live by sight, but by faith, trusting in God. That 2 Corinthians 5:7, by the way. Anyway. And going along with that verse, Psalm 119:105 and Psalm 119:130. Here's what God wanted me to tell you. If you're walking in the light, and the light's in front of you, if you step in the light, you get more light. If you turn from the light, you can't help but walk in darkness. Not my will, but thine. What are you up to, God? I want to get in on it. Not God, come bless what I'm doing. I'm going this way. He's like, I'm over here. Just a thought. Ephesians 5:13. I like this verse. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Reproved means to convict, to tell a fault. 1 Timothy 6:16, you could look up. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. One of the things about walking with God, you got to ask yourself, does this sound like God? Does this look like God? Is this what Jesus would do? Would Jesus treat this person this way? Because God doesn't change. I am the Lord, I change not. He says in Malachi. Amazing. 1 John 1:5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Revelation 21:23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Chapter 22:5. And there shall be no night there in heaven, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Now, I'm not going to talk about all of this today, but I'm going to talk a little bit about it. There's two levels of forgiveness. Have we ever heard that before? There's two levels of forgiveness. But do we own that? There is that level of forgiveness that is vertical for Vertical between us and God. Vertically, God forgives us. And horizontally, the relationship we have with others is between us and each other. Horizontally, we forgive each other. So vertically, God forgives us. Horizontally, we forgive each other. Real quick. Vertical forgiveness is a gift from God. It is eternal and never changes because it's based on what Jesus did. Jesus paid for every sin that we ever did or will do. I love this sentence. He satisfied the eternal court of all charges that could ever be brought against us. The only payment for sin is death. So Jesus died in our place, and what he did never changes. I'd love to talk to you about the other one, but I feel like I'm not supposed to do that right now. Horizontal forgiveness. But that's very important. In verse 6 of 1 John 1, our text, if we say that we have fellowship with him, now let's go back to verse 5 so we're qualifying it. This then is a message which we've heard of him and declare unto you so that you can have fellowship with God, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with God and yet we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. Walk in darkness. Walk outside of the light that God has given us. Walk outside of God's light. To walk is to live. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have fellowship with him, we want to have fellowship with God. There's many people that would tell you, I have fellowship with God. Well, let's look at your walk. Does it line up with the word? Not in a way of judging, of me judging you, in a way of bringing light to it to reveal what the truth is so that we can make adjustments to our thinking. Okay? But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Why does his blood need to cleanse us if we're walking with him? Because when we walk with him, we're not perfect. We can have a desire to walk with him, and we walk with him closer than we did last week or the month before, or that we did before we met him. But none of us have arrived. And so as we enter into light, you know what light does? I have told my guys that work for me, light is not our friend. When we glaze a tub and we go by the light that's in the room, but when people go and they plug in 500 watt or 1,000 watt lamps and bring it in, but look, I can see it. And I just start packing my stuff up. I tell my guys to do this. So what are you doing? I said, I'm leaving. Why? Because that light is not installed in this room. We go by the light that's in this room. If you're looking for fault, you're going to find it. And we're not going by that light. And if you're going to have that light, we're just leaving. Because that's not the light that's installed here. We're going by the light that's installed. It's not going to be perfect. We're not working in a vacuum. There's going to be some dust or something. We'll work on this, but not with your light. And if you keep the light out, I'm leaving. It's that simple. But that's what happens in our lives. As we get close to Jesus, he begins to reveal things. See, we like him right in the beginning. Everything is great. He forgave us of our sin. But then as we walk with him, it says, in thy light shall we see light. In your light, things are going to dawn on us. I see. And remember, when we see our sin, we're the last ones on the planet to do so. Okay? So, but what's neat is as we walk in the light, we have not only have fellowship with Jesus, but he cleanses us of all our sin. I want you to, I'm giving you another thing. To me, this is like really cool. Okay? The horizontal forgiveness, let's talk about that a little bit. Horizontal forgiveness goes on multiple times every day between us and other people. It is based on our choices, therefore it can change. The forgiveness between us and God doesn't change. The forgiveness between us and people changes because we have multiple offenses. We also have those toward God, but Jesus already paid for it, and when we come and admit it, Jesus has taken care of it, okay? And he forgives us and lets us know we are forgiven. That was paid for. I suffered for that. And we enter into that. If, so we need to ask ourselves, do we choose to forgive one that has hurt or sinned against us or someone we care about? To live in his presence. That's what we're talking about. To have fellowship with him continually. How do we do that when someone has hurt us or offended us? How do we do that? Do you not have anybody hurt or offend you? Do we choose to forgive one that has hurt or sinned against us or done that to someone we care about? Do we? Okay. Do you find yourself getting hurt or offended and then you get angry and you live there for a while? Is that where you want? Do you know what I'm talking about? Is that where we want to live? So what do we, how do we do this? Exactly what happened right before church. God led Sue to ask, does anybody need to clear something? And somebody said, yes, I had offenses with some people. And Sue said, let's take them to God's courtroom. Do you remember God's courtroom? Are you practicing God's courtroom? Okay. So what happens is we want, see, Jesus is so sweet. His presence is so sweet. We don't want to leave that, do we? We want to live that, not leave that. But when we have offenses or hurts, we need to deal with those. Okay. We need to take them to God's courtroom. Now, sometimes we need the help of other people. Sometimes I need Sue to help me. I know that and I teach it. I own it and I do it all the time. But sometimes it goes on where it's like a nagging, it's there. I tried to deal with it, but I went through the motions, but I didn't get it all out. Do you know what I'm saying? I didn't deal with it thoroughly. Do you know why I didn't deal with it thoroughly? Because I omitted part of the truth. I went through the motions. I said all the right words. But I didn't really let God deal with it in truth. It's the truth that sets us free. When we're not dealing with the whole truth, it's not just religion is a form. You understand? It's not just going through a form or a formula. It's not just saying the right words. It's, God, I still don't feel right. I said all the right words. Why don't I feel right? Now, sometimes you just need a little bit of time just to, for your emotions to calm down. Okay? I will hurt or offend Sue. And then I realize it and say, will you forgive me? And she says, yes. And I go to hug her and I could tell. And she says, but I need time for my feelings to calm down. My emotions. So that's a truth, okay? Because we're emotional beings also. But there are things that we do where God allows people in our life to touch our buttons. And you say, see, they touch my buttons. The problem is, you had buttons. And you've invited God, and even if you didn't, when you got saved, you invited Him. And you said, I want you, and I want your life, and I want more of you. And He thought we meant it when we said those words. So then He allows situations in our life to bring things to our attention because we haven't dealt with things. Does that make sense? So we need to go back and look at our notes and understand and write down what we think we understand about God's courtroom, about taking someone to court. I like to picture God the Father on the throne of the courtroom, the judge's seat, and I bring this person before God, and they are naked. They can't hide. There's nowhere. And they're out there naked and vulnerable. And God says, what are the charges? And then I bring the charges before Him. And every time I bring one, He takes the gavel. Bam! Guilty. 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 And that person can't run or hide. And they're naked. Everybody can see what's going on. Everybody in the court. And then when I get through pouring out, because I need to pour it out, not mumble it, not think it in my brain. That doesn't work. I'm just saying. And I bring it out. God's like, I can't hear what you're thinking. Okay. He can. But as the judge, He says, it's what you say. And we bring it out verbally to God. And then when we run out, and we need to pour it out, they hurt me. They make me feel this way. They did this. Whatever. They said that and they did this. And we need to pour it out. And then when we run out, and we need to pour it out with our feelings, because we have feelings. It's not just stating fact. This isn't Joe Friday of Dragnet. Just state the facts, ma'am. You know, it's like, God's like, I want to know how you feel. I care. I'm your daddy too. And you pour it out. And then when you run out, He says, now ask me to remind you what you didn't bring up yet. And when you get all of that, He says, now you have to make a choice. Are you really willing to be like Jesus, to follow Jesus? Because you said you want to have fellowship. If we walk in light as He is in the light, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Are you really willing to forgive them while you're being persecuted, while they're spitting on you, while they're wagging their head and mocking you and making fun of you? I choose to forgive them, Lord. I don't feel it, but I choose to forgive them. I want you to tear up the record against them. I commit them into your hands. I know you're going to deal with them. But as far as I'm concerned, I want you to forgive them. I want you to tear it up. I'm not ever going to bring it up again because I brought it up and we're dealing with it once and for all. Now you may have to do that with them on a repeated basis if they're in your life. And it's hard, very hard. One of the hardest things we'll do is to deal with somebody on a repeated basis. But I'm talking about us. Remember in the scripture? These things declare we unto you that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what this whole thing, that's the purpose of this. I want to live in His presence. I don't want to let what somebody else says or does steal my presence with God. And God says, okay, you understand. You've poured it all out. And you've asked me to forgive them, and you forgive them. He says, okay, I do. He says, now let's deal with you. And you're like, what did I do? How about the look? How about the sideways words? How about the attitudes? How about the anger? How about all the thoughts and words you said before you brought them to me? Oops. He said, yeah, let's deal with that. He said, you did want to have fellowship, right? He said, because right now that's between us. He said, you cut it off. I didn't leave you. You left me. You chose that which is darkness. You chose to live in darkness and you took away. You left the light. So now light is what reveals. So we have to come back to what is revealed. And what's revealed is the truth. You see, Sue and I love you people because you have made these choices repeatedly. And you've made these choices to go deeper and deeper into this, to have closer and closer fellowship with God through all these years. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm not accusing anybody. But in 1 John, it might be chapter 2. I can't remember what chapter it's in. It's chapter 2 or chapter 3, I think. It might be chapter 4. It says, they went out from us because other people were here saying they wanted this. But as God kept trying to show more light and kept having us say the same things over and over, which they didn't like because, see, they didn't want to deal with them. It's fine to just nod and go, but not live it. That's why I say to people, you know what it means when I'm preaching and people are nodding their heads? Nothing. Because faith is an action word. What are you going to do with what's being said? It says they went out from us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But because they went out from us, it's evident that they were not in agreement with us. 2:19. And that is the thing. We love you because you keep making these choices. Now we love them, but the relationship, the fellowship got cut off. Because when you're walking in the light, if somebody doesn't want to keep walking in the light, I'm just amazed that the two of us have kept walking in the same light for 43 years, 42 years, almost 43, 42 and a half. And it's amazing because how can two walk together except they be agreed? And we have met so many where one, the husband or the wife, is wanting more light and the other one has made choices to live back here. And they're not in unity. And it's not a good marriage. So we're coming back to God's courtroom. What did I do, God? Well, attitudes, actions, words, what's in your heart toward that person. Let's just go ahead and you can talk about that first. Blah, 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 guilty, 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 guilty. I think that's it, God. And he goes, really? Ask me, is there anything else? And then thoughts start coming to your head. And when they do, just start saying them. If you argue with them, you're going to live where you're at. You understand? Now, what's the whole purpose of our talk here? To live in the light. To have closer fellowship with Jesus more often. I didn't say everything was going to be easy. He didn't either. It wasn't easy for him to become one of us. Now, who in the daylights would want to leave heaven knowing what in the daylights he was going to have to go through, deal with a bunch of yahoos that aren't going to get it? He's talking to everybody and they're all looking at him like deer in a headlight. You know, his whole life. He doesn't have anybody he can confide in. He tries. He's trying to confide what's going on in his heart. And the people say, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who gets to sit on your right hand? He's going, dude, do y'all not hear what I'm saying? I'm trying to share. Do you get it? I've just never met anybody like Jesus. He's like the coolest person in the world. Beyond. So we're at God's courtroom. We admit all these things. And he says, now, do you want to get punished? No. He says, then why are you beating yourself up? And that's where that's where we're going to end today. Oh, maybe I don't get to go there. I wanted to. He told me don't get in a hurry. My wife says if you get dead on one end, you get dead on the other. So we ask God. God, I need mercy. I need your forgiveness. I want you to remove all this. And he says, I've already paid for it all. And I'm happy to remove that and just forgive that and remove it from the record. Thank you, Jesus, we say. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, what is darkness? It's the opposite of light. It's what's void of light. Then we lie and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So he already forgave us, and now what he's doing is daily cleansing us. Daily. And we learn to live in a cleansed mentality, with a cleansed heart, and continually receiving his forgiveness, his refreshing, his rejuvenation, his re-lifing us. Because sin kills. And that darkness took us into all kinds of imaginations. And you and I were talking about giving somebody the benefit of the doubt. So as soon as we find something, we start going, oh, well, they did this and I think this. And when we do that, we're like joining the enemy. It may be true. How do we deal with it? Let's deal with the truth. Okay, God, I choose to forgive them. How do I deal with this? Not focused on that. I like what Glenn said. He said, this is the truth and it's going to cost me. But I'm going to take care of it. I'm just going to deal with it. I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to give them a benefit of the doubt. Maybe they didn't know. Maybe it was a mistake. Maybe whatever. But 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8a, talks about what true love, godly love, is. And one of the things is we cut the other person some slack. And we give them the benefit of the doubt, is the way they used to say it. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Because I'm not going to live in accusing. That's the enemy. He's the accuser of the brethren. He accuses God to us. He accuses us to each other. I don't want to live in his realm. imagining, suspicion. That is of the enemy. It may be true. How are we going to deal with it? What they did is between them and God. How we respond is between us and God. I don't want to lose my fellowship with God by living in their realm of accusation. Yes? Real clear? Real simple? Am I in the light or am I in darkness? But they, yep, they probably did. Guilty. Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do, because if they were in front of you, they wouldn't have done it. And if they had your mind, they wouldn't have done it. And if they had your heart, or maybe they're just deceived by the enemy and living in stupidness. Okay, so what am I going to do? Condemn them for being stupid? No. Father, forgive them. See? Because I want to live in your light. I don't want to let other people control my life, control my peace, control my fellowship with Jesus. This may have just been rehashing what we already knew, but I felt like God said I was supposed to say all this stuff today and not get in a hurry, because we can hear stuff and we can even start practicing it, but sometimes we just need to be reminded. And sometimes with what we're going through, because see, we're no longer in the third grade. Now we're in the sixth grade. Well, sixth grade battles are a little heavier than the third grade battles. And so sometimes we need to hear the stuff when we're in the sixth grade that we already learned when we're in third grade to help us deal with what's going on in the sixth grade. Does that make sense? Does this help anybody? I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to sharing with you that I thought we were going to get to today. And that is what God does with our sins when we properly deal with them. Oh, I love that. It's just, you see, that when you learn truth about God, okay, it's real important. Do you notice that when you read the Bible, the more you read it, it's like every time you read it, light comes. Every time you read it, life pops out of it. You feel life coming into you every time. So that's reading. And that's you reading the Word. That's you looking at the Word. But when you let the Word come live in you, it's completely different. When you take time to just read the Word and think about it and just take a verse, like I'm doing this whole chapter this morning and just going, and I mean, I've about memorized every word in the chapter, you know, in years gone by and could say them. But as I'm looking at it and meditating on it, it's like, I don't know how else to say it, but it's like sucking on a jawbreaker. It's like, we're like one of those little round white things with a hole in the middle. And tastes real good, but you suck on it for a while, you know, lifesaver. You know, it's like, I love that. And that's what it's like. But it's like, we need the Word, Jesus, to come live in us. We need to take time and meditate, think about, chew on. What does this mean? Not just God, what does this mean? But what does this mean? How does this apply to my everyday life? How can I live this? What would Jesus look like living this? See what I'm saying? I used to, for a long time, read quantity, trying to read so many chapters a day. Okay? And then it wasn't long, and God was like dealing with me like, Is it just how many chapters you're reading? Okay, Harvey, you're doing that. And then you go around telling everybody you're doing that. And he's like, but, he said, is that what it's really about? Or is it more quality? Or is it quantity? And I'm like, it's quality. And he goes, if you want me, then you got to slow down. And you got to find out what I'm saying and how it applies. Yeah, there's a quantity reading when you're going through and you're just reading. But there's like, okay, I've read, but God, I want to own what you're saying here. How does this apply? I don't even understand everything I'm reading, God, but I want to understand what you want me to understand. I need to live this because I can't live that verse, Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You can't live without the word of God. You think you can't live without food. I've lived 40 days without food. You can live without food. There may be less of you to live 40 days from now, but, because there will. But for crying out loud, you could live 40 days without food. Moses did, Jesus did, I did. But I can't live without the Word of God. And when you memorize it, or you carry it around with you, you keep it constantly, like, it's like you're dwelling with Him. You're hanging out with Him. That truth, whatever that truth is that you need for right now. I'm so glad for what you said. That's awesome. See, that's why you people are precious to us. Because you keep doing this. You keep wanting this. Okay? That's what we need if we're going to have more fellowship with Him. Not leaving Him so often and having to come back. It's a whole lot better to hang out than to come back. You know? To not have those times of division. Because we're not living, we're existing, and it's horrible. Life is horrible at that time, right? Isn't this cool? Lord, our hope is in Thee. You are everything to us. Thank you that we were everything to you. And you individually came seeking each one of us as if we were the only one. You are so cool, Jesus. We need you to make this clear inside of us so we can live it. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.